Hello and welcome to One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, where we look back over the matches recently played by Glamorgan and look ahead to what's coming up this weekend. As ever, I'm your host, Blake Bint, after Alid has had the duty stripped from him after filling in last week. But he is with me today, writer for Taff and Daff, Alid Hopkins, and also joined by Dan Whiting, the founder of the Glorious Gazette, the outlet that runs for Gloucestershire. So good morning, gents. Thank you for joining me.
Morning.
Alid, we'll start with you. Glamorgan, another positive result, albeit rain getting in the way.
Very positive, wasn't it? I mean, after 0 for 2 or whatever we were at the first innings, I think you'd have to say Glamorgan on the balance of play over the 4 days were the better side and were the side looking more likely to win it if there was going to be a winner. Obviously, the rain came in and spoiled everyone's fun, as it usually does. But yeah, hugely, hugely encouraging performance away at Edgbaston against a really quality Warwickshire side as well. And sitting third in the table in the county championship after the first block of six is just dreamland, really, for Glamorgan fans. I mean, it just, I think going into the T20 block now, it just eases that pressure even more. I've sort of spoken about that before. I think, last season, and we'll talk more about the blast and the white ball stuff in a second, but I think last year having that real promotion push and that kind of focus on red ball cricket, I think did hamper the white ball cricket. So now you've got that sort of cushion ahead of you in this from this six game block. I think we might see a little bit more relaxed. It might allow Richard Dawson to experiment with the team a little bit more in the white ball stuff and play some players he might be saving for Red Bull games if we were still sort of scrapping at the bottom. But hugely, hugely encouraging. And yeah, Colin Ingram and Ben Kellaway, the standouts.
Yeah, we'll look at the what's in the blast in a moment. But we, as ever, go through the scorecard, picking out some kind of highlights from it. Glamorgan batting first, 360 all out, as you said, recovering from 0 for 2. The ducks for both Ul Hassan and Tribe. Ul Hassan actually had a pair in this game, so not really shown it with the bat since his 100 at Hampshire. But then Carlson and Kellaway recovered well, 85 for Carlson. Denied a century with a rather questionable decision, in my opinion. Kellaway, a good 100 for him. Dixon, a good 30. And then again, the tail wagged a little bit with Mason Crane getting 20 not out. Tom Norton, real in a false position there at number 10, getting 29. Warwickshire in reply bowled up 252. Only Jordan Thompson and Ethan Bamber at the tail putting up a fight. Tom Norton again starring with 4 wickets, 2 apiece for Van der Hoogten and Ul Hassan. And then Glamorgan came back with 259. Colin Ingram really holding the innings together. As I said, duck again for Ul Hassan. Carlson also with one in this innings. And Van der Hoogten ended 26 not out, along with a Dixon 30 and a Kellaway 40 to offer a little bit of support for Ingram. And then the rain ruined the day. Warwickshire 104-2 when the rain came. And the umpires decided no more could be possible on the final day, with Ryan Hadley taking a wicket in his final game for Glamorgan and Zain Al-Hassan getting one again there. So, Alid, I suppose a couple of key points from that to take is again, Carlson in magnificent form, Kellaway finding a bit, and Colin Ingram returning to form with a century as well.
Yeah, and I think Colin needed that. He's been a bit quiet since that initial 100 against Yorkshire in the opening round. I mean, we all know his quality, but it's different players stepping up in different moments when it could have all gone horribly, horribly wrong when it was 0 for 2, and we could have had a disaster on our hands. Ben Kellaway steps up, Kieran Carlson steps up. And then in the second innings, then you get Colin Ingram stepping up. Shaun Dixon held his own again, 39, not a bad score. for a number six. Callaway 42 in that innings as well. You know, really, really strong game from him. I suppose the only concern is the lack of consistency amongst the top seven. It seems to be a little bit, you know, you get early wickets and then you need somebody to go in and be a savior of the innings at times. That would be my only concern. But I mean, third in the table, you can't do too much complaining.
Do you not think it's positive though that ones where someone kind of always steps up when others falter?
Yeah, absolutely. That's it's a huge positive that, you know, it seems to be everyone, hasn't it, across this season. You know, it's been Ingram at times, it's been Carlson at times, then it's been Zeno Larsan, then it's been Mason Crane and Sean Dixon, and it's been spread out. And everybody seems to have another gear to them when their team needs them to step up. They're able to do that. And that's a huge, huge positive because, you know, I think the likes of Hampshire and perhaps Leicestershire down the bottom of the table haven't been able to do that. And that's been the only real difference in those two teams. So it's hugely positive, as I said, but my only slight concern is just some of the lack of consistency, especially from, you know, the likes of Tribe. And I thought Zain Al-Hassan did okay with the ball, so he kind of redeemed himself in this game. But yeah, you'd just like to see a little bit more consistency from that top seven. But as I said, way more positives than negatives.
Yeah, third in the table. Can't really complain. I don't think any of the Northern fans will be. Dan's been waiting patiently, so it's about time to bring him in. Providing the Gloucestershire expertise today as their commentator on the stream and as I introduced you as well, writing for the Counterpress outlet that covers them as well. Things haven't been as rosy the other side of the seven, have they, Dan?
No, they certainly haven't. I was going to say, it's no wonder Glamorgan are doing so well with Richard Dawson there as head coach. And I believe you've got Chris Dent as a batting consultant as well. So,
yeah, Ian Harvey also there, worked with Dawson at Gloucester as well.
Yeah, part of that brilliant Gloucestershire side that won six trophies around the turn of the century. Along with a Gloucestershire head coach as well, Mark Alane. He was an integral part of that side. And what they did, they relied on low Bristol wickets, Harvey and Alane just bowling little dobbers, Jack Russell standing up to the stumps and strangling sides trying to chase it down. So, yeah, but those things have not been that rosy this year. I'm hankering back to years gone by, aren't I? Because at the moment, Gloucestershire are 39 points adrift at the bottom of the table. And it is it's a grim read. It's a grim read looking at that table. So the blast cannot come soon enough for Gloucestershire fans.
I was going to say, obviously, we're doing this ahead of the blast, but we'll just always reflect on the Morgan's last game as well. It just so happened to be a county championship one. Gloucestershire's form is kind of relevant in a way, because even though we're changing format, players still want to feel in touch, don't they, Dan?
Yeah, they certainly do. And Gloucestershire have been absolutely rocked with the blast as well. They've had news this week that David Payne is going to miss the whole tournament, having picked up an injury in the IPL. I think David Payne's probably one of the leading protagonists of his skills in the country at the moment, hence why he's sort of been picked up in Big Bash contracts, in IPL contracts, etc. And how he hasn't been picked for England over the years more is an absolute mystery to me. Also, Liam Scott as well, who had a really good Big Bash, who's the marquee overseas signing. He was selected in the Australia side to tour Pakistan and Bangladesh. So he is missing the first half of the tournament as well. And yeah, I think tomorrow's trip to Cardiff is, well, it's always a tough ask over in Cardiff, isn't it? But I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a real tough ask.
Well, it's always been some thrillers over the years, so hopefully we get another one tomorrow. Al, if we look at Glamorgan, obviously their squad's out for their game against Northants tonight, and then obviously play Gloucester tomorrow, so they would have played two games before anyone else in the competition. A couple of new overseas. We've got Fazal Haq Farooqi, the Afghan, and Nathan McAndrew, who's not actually in the squad for this first one, which I think has led to potential Ryan Hadley re-signing in June. This is obviously still to be confirmed. But Nathan McAndrew not in the squad for this first one. Maybe an issue with Cricket Australia there. We're not entirely sure. But an exciting start to the Blast campaign, hopefully.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I was hoping you'd have some inside information on that. McAndrew being not available for this game, but yeah, it's a puzzling one because he's presumably signed for the Blast and then two Championship games in between, and you would think Glamorgan would want to get as much out of him as possible, especially how he ripped through them last year at Hove. But yeah, that other news is, yeah, we've seen this week Ryan Hadley potentially being extended, which would be great. But as we kind of alluded to at the start of the season, we didn't really know much about Ryan Hadley at all. I definitely don't know anything about him in white ball cricket, so I don't know how that's gonna work. But yeah, I was sort of mapping out my team this week because obviously that's how much of a Glamorgan nerd I am. Without Asa Tribe in there as well, obviously away with the Lions, who's going to take that opening spot? I'm not sure at the moment. Do you bring Will Smale in as a batter and play Alex Horton as the wicket keeper, and do you do it that way? Byram's in the squad. Do you play that Billy Root? I'm not too sure.
I think, and we've obviously written our predicted 11s, which you'll be able to read on Taff and Daff's site, as well as myself, Aladam, Peter Millar, will give our thoughts ahead of the season. Will Smale obviously opened last year with Kieran Carlson, so there's potential to do that again. But then Tribe was down at six last year. You'd assume he would come in to open, potentially Carlson. That's at three or four. But it was also a very youthful side last year. We saw Alex Horton played nearly every game. Chris Cook was often left out. Henry Hill played a couple. Kellaway took on a big role, batted at four for the whole campaign as well. So there is a lot there to be excited about. And it was still a campaign where came fifth, I believe, and it still could have gone a bit better. There was a couple of individual performances in games at Hampshire and at Surrey that just really took it away from Glamorgan when they really could have been in contention for top four.
It was the classic win one, lose one last season. It was so frustrating to watch because it seemed that every time the bowlers fired, the batters didn't, and vice versa. And those two Surrey games are shining examples. I think at home at Sophia Gardens, the bowlers did well to restrict Surrey to about 142, something like that. And then they go and get bowled out for, I think it was 7 runs short in the end, and the Curran brothers end up taking 6 for, and then away at the Oval they go and make 2-2-2, and you think that's a brilliant position, and then they let Dan Lawrence just tee off and annihilate everyone, and Surrey comfortably cruised home. So those two games where they were games that should have been won and probably would have secured a quarter final place was the frustration from last season, and I think hopefully this campaign we can string together a bit more consistent performers across the board.
Well, Dan, while it's not been so great in red ball cricket so far this year, Gloucestershire do have relatively recent white ball success to look back on. I know they didn't have a great campaign last time out, but in 2024, I'm sure no one will ever let them forget. They'll never let anyone forget that they took the title home, a big one at Edgbaston in that September evening. But and you were there as well.
I was there. I don't remember a lot about it, especially as the night finished about 4 o'clock in a hotel with a team somewhere sort of down Broad Street in Birmingham. But yeah, it was a messy one. I think Gloucestershire's like the batting that they've got at the moment looks good. I mean, Darcy Short and Miles Hammond at the top of the order. There's no David Milan in the squads for these games because they've got Warwickshire on Friday and then Glamorgan on Saturday, and David Milan's missing, having been another marquee signing over the winter. So I don't know where he is. I should have inside knowledge, but I don't know where he is. Ollie Price is dangerous in this form of the game. He scores in a 360-degree arc, and he's quite hard to set fields to. And then you've got the sort of the middle order of Charlesworth, Bracey, Jack Taylor, who can all give it a thump. Graham van Beeren. So yeah, I mean it's decent. There's a couple of youngsters in the squads as well. So there's Kamran Darawal and Daz Ahmed as well. I haven't seen too much of either. They both sort of played a little bit of Metro Bank last August, and their Kamran Darawal is supposed to be highly rated. Chris Dent's got something in his cricket academy which measures speed off the bat, and Kamran Darawal came top of the charts. So I think sort of like teeing off a tee. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. The bowling, though, I think might struggle a little bit. Matt Taylor's had a lot of overs in his under his belt already this year. There's a bloke who plied his trade over the Severn Bridge with you guys for a little bit, Marshawn De Lange. He'll be around, and he can bowl bombs. And then you've got probably Craig Miles. Charlesworth will fill in as well. So the bowling might be a little bit light. Graham van Beeren and Ollie Price will provide the spin options.
It sounds like it will be reliant on batting in particular. That campaign where they did take the title, where was the kind of success in the foundations, do you think? Obviously, you had David Payne in that campaign, and Matt Taylor was really strong as well. But I particularly remember everyone seemed to get runs.
Yeah, everyone did. It was the two victories over Somerset really that did it. Both in the last over, one in the rain at Bristol and one down at Taunton as well. And Gloucestershire actually finished fourth in the group and had a tricky quarter final away at Warwickshire, which they went and won, and then obviously played their semi final and final at Edgbaston as well. So they played the quarter, the semi, and the final at Edgbaston. Yeah, runs came from all around. Bracey, Hammond, Price, Charlesworth, they all chipped in. All that middle order all chipped in. But as you said, David Payne and Matt Taylor, the two left armers at the top of the order, they were crucial to the success. Jack Taylor's a crucial guy as well in white ball cricket for Gloucestershire. He comes and keeps the local glaziers in business in the flats, so up at the Ashley Down Road end of the ground.
Yeah, I certainly remember watching Jack Taylor hit it to all parts against Glamorgan and in unusual places as well. So he certainly will cause some potential problems. Alan, who do you think would look to for Glamorgan to be the ones to carry them forward in the campaign if they're going to go well? Maybe particular one batter, one bowler, if I had to put you on the spot.
I think Captain Carlson is usually the man to sort of steer things, isn't he? New contract this week, as we've written about on the website. Again, I've said it this all this season. I was looking at his strike rates. He's just a guy who's able to accelerate the innings based on the format he's playing. He's got all sorts of shots. He's so experienced now as well, you know, all in the power play as well, usually when he opens up in T20 cricket. Obviously Colin Ingram as well, when he gets going, is difficult to stop. In terms of bowlers, I'm looking forward to Faruqi. Not seen a great deal of him, but from what I've read, he's a guy who can bowl with the new ball in T20 cricket and at the death as well. So that'll be a welcome addition for Glamorgan, bit of pace in there. I do think Tom Norton will play a bit of T20 cricket this summer. Discussing with Peter last week, you know, we think he's kind of a Tim Bresnan type of build. Good bit of pace and maybe able to bang it into the deck a little bit. So and you know the wave, the crest of the wave he's riding at the moment, why not? So potentially a bit of Tom Norton as well.
Oh, there you go. That would be a bit of an out there pick, given the already there's a bit of kind of white ball specialism in the side. Already mentioned Smale and Horton often come in. We've also got Gorvin, who's been kind of pushed aside in the red ball by Norton. He'll certainly play a part, and people like Dixon coming in as well. He'll have a part to play at the top of the order. And Dan Douthwaite as well had a really good season last year. He'll certainly be looking for that 100 wildcard pick. If we briefly just touch on the women's competition as well, the Women's Vitality Blast also starting today. We've got a double header at Sophia Gardens tomorrow with the men taking on Gloucestershire. The women do play beforehand as well, but the seven-side derby in the women is today. So it's a good job we've got Dan on for that just before he heads off to Bristol to go watch that one. So Dan, looking forward to your trip today. Should be a good one in the sunshine.
Yeah, I think it'll be far more serene than an afternoon game in Bristol than a Saturday night in Cardiff. But I mean, as I said, Cardiff's always a difficult place, isn't it? I think you've got a word, an adage you might be able to like sort of help me out here, but it's called hoyle, and there's no English translation, is there? It means sort of like passion, fervour, doesn't it? And Cardiff is full of
Sort of
that.
Welsh patriotism, yeah, stoicism, yeah.
And I don't think Bristol will have any of that this afternoon. But I mean, it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to Megha Hearn, the youngster for Gloucestershire. She's decent. Becca Halliday as well at the top of the order. And look out for Alice Bird bowling big in duckers, big hoopers. So she's one to watch as well.
Yeah, there was a really close game earlier in the season in the One Day Cup. You'd think hopefully the shorter format players can come into their own more, particularly the loanees from Tier One. Hopefully that experience in the shorter format can make them dominate the game a bit more.
Yeah, we've talked about it, haven't we, at the start of the season now with Yorkshire moving up to Tier One, that the sights should be set on winning some silverware this year in Tier Two. And yeah, this will be, you know, probably one of their biggest tests so far. Gloucestershire have obviously got the link with Glamorgan, so it's a team they know well. There's a lot of players in that setup that they'll know. And you know, no disrespect to the likes of Devon and Tier Three sides like that, but it's a tough matchup for them always when they play in that competition. And now sort of getting into the League Two T20 Cup, it'll be more stiff competition, I think, and starting today.
Yeah, it's always interesting when Glamorgan play Gloucester, I think, because with the academy and them having the link the way that it is, you've got the Glamorgan moving to Tier One next year, and there'll be some players in the Gloucestershire side that are eyeing up contracts for Glamorgan next year. Dan, one of them, no least of Liv Daniels, their own captain.
Yeah, there's a lot of Gloucestershire guys at university in Cardiff, in men's and women's, actually. You've got, I think, Tommy Borman is at Cardiff University and Joe Phillips as well with the men. And then you've got Katie Dolman. And I think Liv Daniels has been over in Cardiff as well. So there are links between the two. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when Glamorgan do go to Tier One, how, you know, where they recruit from and where they fish in their talent pool. And yeah, I'll be interested to see who they sort of, you know, nick from us.
Well, there we go. Glamorgan take on Gloucestershire in the first game of the Vitality Blast Women's League Two competition today. That starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then tomorrow, Glamorgan v Gloucestershire in the men's seven-side derby in a doubleheader at Sapphire Gardens. So we'll be covering that on Taff and Daff. Thank you as ever to Alex for joining me. Thank you to Dan, who needs to shoot off to Bristol. Hopefully he enjoys his trip and his time on commentary. Make sure you check out Dan's site, Glorious Gazette, the sister counterpress outlet that covers Gloucestershire. And also, obviously, make sure you check out Taff and Daff, where myself, Alid, and our columnist, Peter Miller, have had plenty of pieces to build up to the Vitality Blast season. But as ever, thank you all for listening. Goodbye.